أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، ولا أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، واللانة الدامة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. In this series of majalis for Muharram, I have been beginning with this ayat from Surah Tawbah, which combines the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he sent him with guidance and the true faith with the purpose of giving it total domination over all religions. And that fulfillment of the promise given by Allah to Prophet Muhammad will be fulfilled at the hand of his descendant Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah sharif. And so we are talking about the connections and the similarities between Imam Hussein and Imam Mahdi, looking at the connection between Karbala and the zuhur and appearance of the Imam. But as usual, I would like to start with a hadith on the issue of the azaf, Sayyid al-Shuhada, the importance of remembering Hussein ibn Ali. And this is a narration that we have from Sheikh Saduq in Uyuna Akhbar al-Ridha, where he is quoting from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who takes his own quotation all the way to his forefathers, going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet said, إِنَّ مُوسَى بْنِ عِمْرَانَ سَأَلَ رَبُّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَقَالَ. He's saying that when Musa ibn Imran, Prophet Musa, prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, at the time when his brother Harun had died, he says, يَا رَبِّي أَنَّ أَخِي هَارُونَ مَاتَ فَاغْفِرْ لَوْ. Oh Allah, my brother Harun has passed away, so forgive him. فَعَوْحَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam, he said, يَا مُوسَى لَوْ سَأَلْتَنِي فِي الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَأَجَبْتُكَ. If you had asked for forgiveness of all the people from the early days to the latter days, I would have responded to your dua of forgiveness, مَا خَلَى قَاتِلِ الْحُسَيْنِ, except for the killer of Hussein ibn Ali. فَإِنِّي أَنْتَقِمُ لَهُ مِنْ قَاتِلِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa that I'm going to take revenge for him from his murderer. And this is where, you know, when we hear about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam, yes, we emphasize that Allah is Rahman and Rahim. But we also cannot ignore his other attributes which are there in the Quran. We talk about 99 beautiful names. We have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has described himself 3 times in the Quran that I am from the muntaqimeen. Muntaqimeen, those who do intiqam, who take revenge. So muntaqim means the avenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He is willing to forgive anyone who comes to Him with true remorse and asks for forgiveness sincerely. Allah will forgive. There are many, many ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. But He will equally punish those who arrogantly violate His laws, especially those who violate the rights of other people. There is no forgiveness, because that is the demand of justice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He is kind and merciful, He is also just and fair. In the context of the story of Karbala, Yazid is the prime example of those who cannot be forgiven. He is indeed the one from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the revenge. In Ziyarat Warith, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, that we partly, you know, discussed it in one of the majalis about the companions of Imam Hussein. In the earlier section of that ziyarat, the sixth Imam is saying to us, when you address Hussein ibn Ali, there is one sentence relevant to this theme, where we say, "Assalamu alayka ya far Allah wa ibn Farih wal witr al mawtur." What does this mean? We recite that every Thursday night. Peace be upon you, O the one whose revenge will be taken by Allah, and the son of the one whose revenge will also be taken by him, the one for whom revenge is sought. And so this concept of the revenge for Hussein ibn Ali, as far as those who killed him is concerned, this is part of our religious teachings. And this brings me to the close connection between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif, salawat pranayak barar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the revenge for Hussein in this world as well as in the hereafter. In this world, the avenger of the blood of Hussein will be Imam Mahdi. This is where we see the connection between Hussein and Mahdi. If you look at the part of the devotional literature which is there in the Shia community and used regularly, you will see this theme comes again and again and again. For example, when we look at the ahadith dealing with the advent of Imam Mahdi, we are told that the slogan of the Ansar of Mahdi would be "Ya Latharat al-Husayn," which means that we are rising up for revenge of Al-Husayn. So that will be the slogan of the Ansar and companions of Imam Mahdi, linking themselves to Hussein ibn Ali. The second example, there is a dua known as Dua Nudba, very popular among the Shia Muslims in general, which is normally recited on Fridays, in which we address Imam Mahdi and lament his prolonged absence. And we also express our desire to see him sooner than later. In the words that we describe him and call him, one of the things we say is, "Aina talibu lidam al-maqtul bi Karbala." This is how we address the 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi. Where is the one who will seek revenge for the blood spilled in Karbala? And we do this on a weekly basis. The third example is the Ziyarat of Ashura, where she has definitely recited on the day of Ashura, if not more frequently. There are many, many people who recite the Ziyarat every day. And in that Ziyarat, there is a passage where we say, "Ya Aba Abdullah bi Abi Anta wa Ummi, laqad azuma musabi bika." Where we say that, "Oh Hussein, oh Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, by my parents, your grief has been great for me. فَأَسْأَلَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَ مَقَامَكَ أَنْ يُكْرِمَنِي بِكَ." And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has honored your position, to honor me through you. And then what do we ask? وَيَرْزُقَنِي طَلَبَ فَارِكَ مَعَ إِمَامٍ مَنْصُورٍ مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. And Allah grant me the opportunity to seek your revenge with an imam from Ali Muhammad, who will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we see this even in the Ziyarat of Ashura, this theme that we wish to be among those who will be with Imam Mahdi to take revenge against the killers of Hussein ibn Ali. The fourth example, again from Ziyarat al-Warisa, towards the end of it, where we pray for ourselves, where we say, "Wa as'aluhu أن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام مهدي ناطق لكم." And I ask you, Allah, to grant me the opportunity to seek your revenge, Hussein's revenge, with Imam Mahdi, who speaks for you. And again, coming to the day of Ashura, the fifth example here is the greeting which has been recommended by our Imams for us. That on the day of Ashura, when we meet one another, You know, after the salam, we say, أَظَّمَ اللَّهُ أُجُورُنَا بِمُصَابِنَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our rewards in our grief for Hussein. وَجَعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَارِهِ مَعَ وَلِيِّهِ الْإِمَامِ الْمَهْدِي مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. And place me and you among those who will seek revenge for you with his wali, with his heir, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi from Ali Muhammad. So my dear brothers and sisters in Iman, this concept of Imam Mahdi being the avenger of the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is part of our mainstream teachings and the devotional literature. And there is no doubt and dispute about this issue. Salawat Prana Ekbara. So that, let us now move on to the second part of this discussion, and that is, whom will Imam Mahdi kill as far as this process of, you know, avenging the blood of Hussein? That Imam Hussein alayhi salam represented Banu Hashim, whereas Yazid represented Banu Umayyah. Abu Sufyan, the grandfather of Yazid, was the chief of Banu Umayyah during the early days of Islam. And he fought against the Prophet and against Islam till he had no more ability to do anything. And that is where we see that he surrendered in the conquest of Mecca. Although he recited the Kalima and became a Muslim. But Iman is something else. His actions and words clearly portray that his heart was not in Islam. After the passing away of the Prophet, he very easily made peace with the Khulafa, who in return started promoting his sons. So they wouldn't promote him because he was known to be a very, big enemy of Islam till the last days, just before the wafat of the Prophet. And so they started promoting his son or eldest son Yazid and then the younger son Muawiyah to the extent that by the time of the third Khalifa, the entire region of Sham, now when we use this term Sham in a historical context, it covers Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon and Syria. And so by the time of the third Khilafat, the entire region of Sham was under the control of Banu Umayyah in the hands of Muawiyah. Unfortunately, this accommodation to the children of Abu Sufyan by the Khulafa made Banu Umayyah so strong that Muawiyah was able to oppose Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib when he was declared as the Khalifa by the Muslims. And by the time of Imam Hassan, by the power of his military, he gained control of the entire Muslim empire. So yes, Karbala was also a struggle between Banu Hashim on one hand and Banu Umayyah on the other hand. Banu Hashim were representing the true Islam, while Banu Umayyah were representing the corrupted version of it. It was Hussein who actually shattered the false version of Islam represented by Yazid. Allama Iqbal very beautifully puts this where he says, چون خلافت رشته از قرآن گسیخت حریت را زهر اندر کام ریخت. He says when خلافت severed its link with the Quran, the body of freedom was filled with poison. خواست آن سر جلوه خیر الامم چون صحاب قبل باران در قدم. Then the noblest of mankind stood up, referring to Hussein, emerging as rain cloud on horizon. Bar zameen Karbala barid o raft, lal dar veerane ha karid o raft. He showered the desert of Karbala, thus sprouted lilies in that devastated land. Ta qiyamat qat'e istibdad kard, moj khun o chaman ijad kar. Till the last day he vanquished the tyranny. His blood watered the garden of freedom. So although after Yazid, many Yazids will come, but they will not be able to gain any legitimacy from the Islamic point of view. Because Hussein was killed, but his message is alive. It will be there For every Yazid coming at any time in the history, the message of Husayn ibn Ali would be there to defeat that force and to show that these kinds of people, followers of Yazid, in whatever shape or form they come, they are not considered to be legitimate from the Islamic point of view. Now, coming to the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his role as the avenger for the blood of Imam Hussein, we hear in the narrations that we have that a person will emerge at that time by the name of Sufyani. And he will oppose Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he will oppose Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This Sufyani will be from the descendants of Banu Umayyah. That's why he's called Sufyani. He's from the descendants of Abu Sufyan. And his actual name would be Uthman bin Ambatha. He will rise in Syria. And after a confrontation with the army of Al-Mahdi, he will be killed. And therefore, you know, whenever these events take place in the Syria and Iraq area, people get very agitated in a way because they sometimes say that, well, this is the beginning of the end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the best. Now the question that comes to mind is that although this Sufyani will rise against Al-Mahdi and will be killed, how can he be considered as a revenge for killing Husayn ibn Ali? Because Husayn ibn Ali was killed centuries by the ancestors of this Sufyani. Now, since this is a very delicate issue, I'd like to, draw your attention to this issue in more detail by explaining some ayat and hadith on this issue. Salawat parna ek bara. Let us go to Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, ayat 33. After saying that do not kill innocent souls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا And whoever is killed unjustly, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيَّهِ سُلْطَانًا We have indeed given to his heir an authority. Authority to do what? To retaliate if they want. They have been given their option. Because that is what justice demands. However, Allah says, وَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا That the heir who is going to take the retaliation should not exceed in that act, for surely he has been helped in giving this right of retaliation. Now remember that when we talk about Quran, the Quranic verses have different levels of interpretation and they are not contradictory to one another. Each level of interpretation would be valid in its own context. So they are esoteric, general interpretations to the ayat of Quran, and they are esoteric and specific interpretation to the ayat of Quran. In the esoteric interpretation for this verse, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam says that this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when somebody is unjustly killed, we have given the authority to the heir to retaliate, the sixth Imam says, ذَلِكَ قَائِمُ عَالِ مُحَمَّدَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ This refers to the قَائِمِ عَالِ مُحَمَّدَ referring to Imam Mahdi. Who will appear, يَخْرُجُ فَيَقْتُلُ بِدَمِ الْحُسَيْنِ And he will kill for spilling of the blood of Hussein. يَقْتُلُ وَاللَّهِ زُرَارِيَّ قَتَلَتِ الْحُسَيْنِ بِفِعَالِ آبَائِهَا He will by Allah kill the descendants of the killers of Hussein for the deeds of their forefathers. Let me repeat this. That he will kill the descendants of the killers of Hussein for the deeds of their forefathers. Now this idea of killing the descendants for the sins of their forefathers is not that easy to digest. Even during the days of the Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam met this comment. And we see, two generations after that, Abdus Salam bin Salih al-Halawi, a companion of Imam Rida alayhi salam, asked him about this hadith of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq. And this is where he says, Ibn Rasulillah, ma taqulu fi hadithi rubiya an as-Sadiq, what do you say about the hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, that he is going to kill the descendants of the killers of Hussein for the deeds of their forefathers. Imam Rida alayhi salam says, Huwa kadhalik. That is how it is going to be. That is the truth. So now, Abdus Salam, you know, asked the following question. He says, فَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا تَذِرُ وَاذِرَةٌ وِذْرَ أُخْرَى مَا مَعْنَاهُ. Then he says, then what is the meaning of that verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he says, no soul shall carry the burden of another. Means no person will be punished for the sins of someone else. Imam Rida alayhi salam says, صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فِي جَمِيعَ أَقْوَالِهِ. Allah is true in all his words. وَلَكِنْ ضَرَارِيُّ قَتَلَتْ الْحُسَيْنِ. But when it comes to the descendants of the killers of Hussein, يَرَضُونَ بِأَفْعَالِ آبَائِهِمْ. They will agree with the actions of their forefathers. وَيَفْتَخِرُونَ بِهَا. And they will feel proud of what their ancestors had done. وَمَنْ رَضِيَ شَيْئًا كَانَ كَمَنْ أَتَاهُ. And whoever is pleased with an action done by someone else is like the one who has committed that act by itself. And so this is a very important point. And then Imam says further, وَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ. If a person is killed in the east part of the world, فَرَضِيَ بِقَتْلِهِ رَجُلٌ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ. Then someone in the western part of the world is pleased with that killing. لَكَانَ الرَّاضِي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ شَرِيكَةَ الْقَاتِلِ. So the person, you know, who was pleased with that killing in other part of the world, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a partner in that crime of the killer. وَإِنَّمَا يَقْتُلُ الْقَائِمُ عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجُ الشَّرِيفِ إِذَا خَرَجَ لِرِضَاهُمْ بِفِعْلِ آبَائِهِمْ. And the Qa'im will kill them because they will agree with what was done by their ancestors. Now, the reason why I quoted this hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq under that ayat from Surah 17, ayat 33, and the explanation given by Imam Rida alayhi salam about it, is so that we can understand that when we talk about Mahdi avenging the blood of Hussein by killing the descendants of the killer, we are talking about the people who will be in agreement with the actions of their forefathers. So it's not only their family lineage which is making them accountable or responsible for it. It is their agreement and their, you know, condoning the actions of their forefathers. Salawat pranayik bara. Now this entire issue of, you know, intellectually or mentally being affiliated to what people had done in the past, this is something we have to think about. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam in Nahjul Balagha, in saying number 154, he says, الراضي بفعل قوم قد داخل فيه معهم. A person who agrees with the actions of a people is like someone who is with them in that action. وعلى كل داخل في باطل إثمان. And such a person who agrees with the action of somebody else has two sins. The sin of the action which was done by the other person because now he is partner with him in that way, mentally, intellectually. And the sin of agreeing to what was done. Let me just digress here. This is a very important issue that we have to realize. If a total open violation of the Sharia is taking place, and you participate in it, your participation becomes a sign of your agreement with that action. And you will be responsible for that also. And this is a concept you have to really think about it. This is part of what the Shi'i teachings talk about. You know, Ziyarat-e-Warith is a very important part of our devotional literature. And there is no doubt about this ziyarat and all the different ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It has these words that I would like to link with this theme. In ziyarat-e waris, we will be able to understand this concept more clearly when we look at the words, لَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ وَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ وَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً صَمِيَتْ بِضَالِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. There are three curses that we are asking for here. Of course, let me just, you know, on a side note, when we talk about the word curse here or la'n, it doesn't mean the, you know, verbal abuse. This is not the street language we are talking about. If you look at the dictionary meaning of the curse, it means, you know, it is basically, we are talking about praying to Allah to deprive somebody from His mercy. And so when we say, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ, may the curse of Allah be on the people who killed you, O Hussein. Then we say, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ, O Hussein, may the curse of Allah be on the people who oppressed you. And then we say, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً صَمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. And may the curse of Allah be on the people who heard about it and were agreeable or pleased with it. Now the first group, the first sentence, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ, may Allah curse the people who killed you, refers to the people who were there in Karbala, who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ. The second group, where we say, may the curse of Allah be on the people who oppressed you, refers to all those who ordered this act, who planned it, who supported it, logistically, financially, in whatever ways. But what is this third group? وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً صَمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. May the curse of Allah be on the people who heard about it and who were pleased and agreeable to that. Here it's not referring to one group of people. This is an open-ended statement. There is no limitation of time and space here. This applies to anyone. Even those who come centuries after the events of Karbala, when they hear about the massacre of Karbala, if they agree with what Yazidi people had done, then they are also included in this la'an and in this curse that we ask Allah to put on them. And that doesn't matter whether they lived at that time or not. Because remember, that killing of Hussein ibn Ali was not a personal issue. He was the waris, heir of the Anbiya, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awsiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who killed him were not just individuals. They were actually part of an ideology representing evil. So whoever will be representing that ideology during the zuhur and the appearance of the imam of over time will be part of the Yazidi act, and they will face the same consequences. Let me further say that, you know, when we talk about this third group, which is a very, you know, generic title, and it can be applied to different people at different times, you know, this is a mentality where they actually regret that they were not there to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. And therefore, what do they do now? They propagate against Hussein ibn Ali. They condemn his actions and his, his stand. They support Yazid. And not only that, they actually go and kill the followers of Hussein and the symbols related to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as a way of, you know, attacking Hussein ibn Ali. And so when we talk about killing such people by Imam Mahdi, this will be a kind of a revenge against the killing of Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala. Let me give you an example. During the the days of the 10th and 11th Imam, the era of Mutawakkil, the Abbasid Khalifa. He had this at most, you know, hatred towards Imam Ali and the children of Ali. He could not tolerate that the Shias are going for the visitation to the shrine of Imam Hussein in Karbala. And so he tried more than once when he was in power to erase all the signs and the symbols representing Hussein ibn Ali, putting barriers, preventing people from going to visit the shrine, even tried to demolish and erase the signs as far as the grave and the shrine of Imam Hussein is concerned. And during those days, people who opposed his action in different ways. There was one poet by the name of Ali ibn Muhammad al-Baghdadi in the year 247 of the Hijrah. He actually composed poetry talking about, you know, what he thinks of Mutawakkil and what is his mentality. And it's very very much relevant to our theme here. He says, Tallah in kanat umayya qad atat qatla ibn bint nabiyha mazluman. He says, by Allah, for sure Banu Umayya are responsible for killing the son of the Nabi's daughter unjustly. فَلَقَدْ أَتَاهُ بَنُو أَبِيهِ بِمِثْلِهِ هَذَا لِعُمْرِي قَبْرُهُ مَهْدُومًا. He says, Banu Umayya were not related to Banu Hashim. But then he says that we see that even within the Banu Hashim, the Ali Abbas, Abbasida Banu Hashim also. He says, but this Banu Hashim had done the same thing as Banu Umayya, the Banu Hashim from the line of Abbas. And he says, look at this, that the grave of Hussein today is demolished. أَسَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَكُونُوا شَارَكُوا فِي قَتْلِهِ فَتَتَّبِعُوهُ رَمِيمًا. Now he puts his very powerful, you know, statement where he says, it seems that these people regret that they were not alive those days to kill Hussein and be partner in killing Hussein. Therefore, now they go after the grave of Hussein. So Mutawakkil was not there. He didn't kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But they have this regret that, you know, we were not there to kill him. They had this hatred towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so they targeted the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So Mutawakkil and people like him, they agreed and they were pleased with the Yazidi forces for killing Hussein and his companions. And therefore they are eligible for the act of revenge in the name of Hussein ibn Ali. The ideological children of Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah and Yazid during our time are the extremist Wahhabis. You know, groups like Taliban and ISIS. And that is why you see one of the first things they do is to destroy the shrines related to our imams, besides the other shrines of other people. And for them, killing of Imam Hussein is confirmed. It's not an issue that they think about it, that should we do this or not. Why do they do that? Because they have hatred towards Hussein. So anybody follows Hussein, they would even kill that person. And included in this group, especially the third sentence in Ziyarat-e Warisa, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ, are the muftis and the scholars who might come now in 21st century and issue verdicts, fatwas, saying that Hussein was wrong because Yazid was a legitimate khalifa. Such muftis are also part of this group who heard about the story of Karbala but they sided with Yazid and have opposed Hussein ibn Ali. Imam Mahdi will come to fill the world with justice and fairness. This can't be possible without totally eradicating the injustice. What happened in Karbala was prime form of injustice, and getting rid of the ideological descendants of Yazid will be necessary to establish justice and fairness once and for all in the whole world. Salawat. Let me give you an example of the same thought process. Even in some of the present laws legislated in some of the countries in Europe and Canada. These are the societies which give great importance to preserving the memory of the Holocaust. For them, that is the prime symbol of suffering. These countries in the West have legislated during our own time laws that those who deny the Holocaust can be prosecuted and punished. Even though they were not part of the act of Holocaust, nor were they even born at that time. And this is where we come to realize that even the modern Western society does not tolerate those who agree with the atrocities committed by the past generations. For us, Karbala is the prime example of this suffering. And anyone even coming 14 centuries after that event, you know, gives a verdict or a statement supporting Yazid and agreeing with what happened to Hussein ibn Ali, they are all in the same boat. And so it will be rightful for Imam Mahdi to take the revenge of the spilling of the blood of Hussein from even the ideological descendants of Abu Sufyan. Salawat upon the Akbar. Let me give you one more example from the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen when we talk about this spiritual or intellectual and mental affiliation in spite of the gap in time. In the Battle of Jamal, where there were Muslims on the other side, companions of the Prophet, relatives of the Prophet also, the wife of the Prophet, and on the other hand also you had Amir al-Mu'mineen, a cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet, and prominent Sahaba of Rasulullah with Ali. And after that, battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Amir al-Mu'mineen and his forces. At the end of the battle, and this is in Nahj al-Balagha, 12th khutbah of Nahj al-Balagha, it's a short one, where a companion of Ali, who loved Ali, he came to Ali and he said, after looking at the victory that Ali has gained, he says, وَوِدْتُ عَنْ أَخِي فَلَانًا كَانَ شَاهِدَنَا لِيَرَى مَا نَصَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَىٰ عَدَائِكَ. He says, I wish my brother so-and-so had been here to see how Allah has helped you against your enemies. At that time, Amir al-Mu'mineen asked him a question. أَحَوَىٰ أَخِيكَ مَعَنَا. Is your brother's love for us? Is he inclined to us? Does he love us, the Ahlul Bayt? He said, Naam, yes. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen said something very powerful, and think about it. And then all your questions about how Imam Mahdi will come and take revenge from the ideological descendants of Abu Sufyan will be easy to understand. Ali says to this person, فَقَدْ شَهِدْنَا قَدْ فَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا. If your brother has that love for us, then indeed he has witnessed us. And then he gives us a general statement. لَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا فِي أَسْكَرِنَا هَذَا أَقْوَامٌ فِي أَصْلَابِ الرِّجَالِ وَأَرْحَامِ النِّسَاءِ. Not only your brother, verily this army of ours, you know, they are those who had seen it, who are in the loins of the men and the wombs of the mothers. سَيَّرْعَفُ بِهُمُ الزَّمَانِ وَيَقْوَى بِهِمِ الْإِيمَانِ. Shortly the time will bring them forth and faith will be strengthened by them. This is where we come to realize that when we talk about being with someone, مَعَكَ, to be with you, this is not confined to time and space. You can be with someone, you can be against someone, even though you came centuries apart. Salawat upon the Akbar. When we mourn and grieve the tragedy of Karbala, we are in a way announcing our support for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his cause, and very clearly declaring our disgust at Yazid and his forces and his ideas. All the symbols of Azadari that we have, these are also our expression that we are with Hussein and against Yazid. When we raise the flag of Hazrat Abbas, Alam is a flag. And it doesn't have to be of a particular shape or form, doesn't matter, it's a symbolic thing. The Alam of Abbas symbolizes that Hussein's cause is alive. The Alam of Abbas symbolizes the loyalty, the sacrifice, the selflessness in the most difficult test in human history. After the Shahadat of most of the companions and family members, Abbas goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, I can't hold myself anymore. Allow me to go and fight this kuffar. Imam looked at Abbas and he said something very, very interesting. To praise Abbas, you don't need anything other than this statement of Hussein ibn Ali. He looks at Abbas and he says, oh my brother, إِذَا مَضَيْتَ تَفَرَّقَ عَسْكَرِي. Oh my brother, if you go away, my army will be scattered. You know, we are told that Abbas responded by saying that, oh Imam, where is this army now? But what Hussein ibn Ali wanted to say that, oh Abbas, I rely and trust you on so much that as long as you are there, as if my entire army is there. And so he didn't allow him to go and fight. But right at that moment, the children who had been thirsty for more than 2 days now, you know, their frequency of their cry, Al-Atash, 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 when they were crying for water, right at that moment they started crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. And this is where Imam Hussein alayhi salam says to Abbas, if you want to do something, go and bring water for these children. Abbas got the permission. He goes to Sakina and says, give me your mashk, your water bag. I'm sure when that niece of Abbas, who loved him so much, brought the water bag, she must have brought it with full confidence and all hope that if my uncle Abbas goes, he will surely come back with water and our thirst will be quenched. Abbas chalte hain khaymegah se, lekin hame bataya jata hai, ulama ka bayan hai ki ek martaba fizza ne awaz di, Abbas ruko. اور جب عباس رکے ہیں فضہ کہتی ہے کہ عباس زینب نے تم کو یاد کیا ہے جا کے زینب سے مل لو. عزدارار حسین جناب امام حسین کو جتنا بھروسہ تھا عباس پر اس کا فقرہ آپ نے سن لیا اذا مضیت تفرق عسکری. اب زینب کا بیان سن لیں. امام جناب عباس جاتے ہیں زینب کے خیمے میں. زینب نے کہا کہ عباس بیٹھو, ہم تمہیں روکیں گے نہیں, لیکن جانے سے پہلے میری ایک بات سن لو. فرماتی ہے کہ اے عباس, ہم بچپنے سے بابا سے سنتے تھے کہ بیٹی ایک وقت آئے گا کہ تجھے اسیر بنایا جائے گا, تیرے چادر کو لوٹا جائے گا, تیرے بازوؤں میں رسن باندھی جائے گی. اور ہم جب یہ سنتے تھے, میں معلوم تھا کہ بابا نے جو کہا ہے حق ہے, یہ ہونے والا ہے. لیکن پھر تم پیدا ہوئے, پھر تم جوان ہوئے, تمہارے شجاعت کا چہرہ چرچا جو ہے عالم عرب میں جب پھیل گیا, تو کبھی کبھی میں بیٹھ کے سوچتی تھی
کہ جس کہ جس بہن کا باز جیسا بھائی ہو کس کی مجال ہوگی کہ اس کی چادر کو لوٹے یا اسے اسیر اور قیدی بنائے یا اس کے بازو میں رسن باندھے. لیکن آیا ہے عباس, آج جو بھی جا رہا ہے زندہ لوٹ کے نہیں آ رہا ہے. آج مجھے یقین ہے بابا نے جو کہا ہے وہ ہو کے رہے گا. عباس, خدا کے حوالے کیا ہم نے تم کو. جناب عباس جاتے ہیں, حضرت اعلیٰ نے حسین شجاعت کا وہ عالم تھا کہ یزیدی لشکر کی ہمت نہ ہوئی کہ مقابلہ کریں, وہ راستہ دیتے گئے عباس آگے بڑھتے چلے گئے, یہاں تک کہ جو ایک مختصر سا نخلستان تھا, خرمے کے درخت تھے نہر علقمہ سے پہلے بلندی میں, اسے بھی پار کرنے کے بعد نشیب کی طرف جاتے ہیں. اپنے گھوڑے کو دریا میں ڈال دیا, اپنے مشکیزے کو بھی بھر لیتے ہیں, اور اس کے بعد عباس نے اپنے چلو میں پانی لیا. یہ انسان کا تقاضا تھا, پیاس کی شدت بہرحال ایک لحاظ سے مجبور کرتی ہے. لیکن جیسے ہی پانی آگے قریب کیا ہے, ایک مرتبہ عباس نے پانی کو پھینک دیا, لگتا ہے کہ اس پانی میں چہرے سکینہ کا چہرہ نظر آیا. عباس کی وفا نے یہ گوارا نہ کیا کہ سکینہ پیاسی رہے, زینب پیاسی رہے, حسین پیاسے رہے, اور عباس جو ہے پانی پی لے. پانی کو پھینک دیتے ہیں, گھوڑے پر سوار ہوئے عزاداران حسین. امام جناب عباس کے لیے اب مشکل مرحلہ تھا, اس لیے کہ اب نشیب سے بلندی کی طرف آنا تھا, اور بلندی پہ خرمے کے درخت تھے. عباس کا اب ہم میں غم اور مقصد صرف اتنا تھا کہ مشکیزہ جو ہے پانی کے ساتھ خیمگاہ تک پہنچ جائے. جب ان درختوں کے درمیان سے گزرتے ہیں, ایک لعین جو چھپا ہوا تھا درخت کے پیچھے, وہ پیچھے سے آتا ہے, اس طرح سے وار کرتا ہے کہ عباس کے ایک بازو قلم ہو جاتا ہے. عباس نے علم اور مشکیزے کو دوسرے ہاتھ پر اپنے ہاتھ پر لے لیا, آگے بڑھتے ہیں, لیکن ایک لعین دوبارہ پیچھے سے آتا ہے, اسی طرح سے دھوکے سے وار کرتا ہے. عباس نے فوراً جو ہے مشکیزے کو اپنے دانت سے روک لیتے ہیں, اور اس کے بعد اپنے پورے دھڑ کو گھوڑے کی گردن میں بھی ڈال دیتے ہیں تاکہ حفاظت کر سکے اپنی اور اپنے اس مشکیزے کی. زور دیتے ہیں گھوڑے کو کہ آگے بڑھے. عزاداران حسین, یزیدی لشکر کے تمام بزدل سپاہی جن کی ہمت نہ دی کہ عباس سے قریب آئے, ہاتھوں کے کٹنے کے بعد کوئی نیزے سے وار کرتا ہے, کوئی تلوار سے وار کرتا ہے, یہاں تک کہ ایک مرتبہ عباس کو خیال آیا کہ وہ دیکھیں کہ خیمہ کتنی دور پر ہے, اپنے پیروں کو رکاب پر زور دیتے ہیں تاکہ اپنے دھڑ کو اٹھا سکے. بس عباس کا بلند ہونا تھا, ایک تیر آتا ہے مشکیزے پر لگتا ہے, یہ پانی نہیں بہاتا, عباس کی امیدیں تھی جو بہ جاتی ہے ضمیر کربلا پر. عزاداران حسین, سب سے مایوس شہید جو کربلا میں شہید ہوا ہے وہ عباس ہے, اس لیے کہ مولا نے کہا تھا پانی لے کے آؤ. اب چاروں طرف سے حملہ شروع ہوا, ایک مرتبہ ایک ملعون آگے سامنے آتا ہے گرز لیے ہوئے, جسے ہم لوگ انگریزی میں کلب کہتے ہیں. اس گرز کے لے کے شدت کے ساتھ عباس اس کے سر پر وار کرتا ہے. بس اس وار کا ہونا تھا, عباس اب گھوڑے پر نہ سنبھال سکے اپنے کو, زمین کربلا کی طرف گرتے ہیں. لیکن گرتے گرتے آواز دیتے ہیں یا خاک ادرک خاک، اے بھائی بھائی کی مدد کو پہنچے. عباس گرے تھے صحیح، لیکن جب سوار گرتا ہے زمین پر پیر ہاتھوں کے سہارے گرتا ہے، لیکن وہ حبا عباس ہاتھ کٹ چکے تھے. یہ جب آواز حسین جب یہ عباس کی آواز حسین کے کانوں تک پہنچتی ہے، اپنے ہاتھ کو کمر پر رکھا اور کہتے اران ان کا سر زہری، میری کمر ٹوٹ گئی، قلت حیلتی، میری تمام تدابیر اب ختم ہو گئی. مولا فوراً چلتے ہیں، حملہ کرتے ہوئے پہنچتے ہیں جناب عباس پر، زمین کربلا پر بیٹھے، عباس کے سر کو زانوں پہ رکھا، ایک آنکھ میں تیر تھا، اسے نکالتے ہیں. عباس نے کہا کہ مولا میری ایک آخری وصیت ہے، میری وصیت یہ ہے کہ میرے لاشے کو یہی نہر قلب القما پہ چھوڑ دے، خیمے کی طرف نہ لے جائے. کہا جاتا ہے یہ وجہ بیان کی تھی کہ ہم سکینہ سے شرمندہ ہیں. عزاداران حسین ممکن ہے وجہ ایک اور بھی ہو، اس لیے کہ حسین نے جان جیسے صاحب غلام کے لاش کو بھی مقتل میں نہیں چھوڑا تھا، عباس جیسے وفادار کی کے لاش کو نہر القما کے پاس کیوں چھوڑ دیتے؟ ضرور اٹھاتے، لیکن عباس کو معلوم تھا مجھ پر اتنے وار ہوئے کہ اگر بھائی میرے لاشے کو کہ اگر بھائی میرے لاشے کو اٹھانا بھی چاہے تو میرے لاٹ لاشا اٹھے گا نہیں، اور حسین کو صدمہ ہوگا. اس صدمے کو رونے کے روکنے کے لیے وصیت کرتے ہیں میرے لاش کو مت لے کے جائیے گا. حسین نے عباس کے علم کو لیا، آہستہ آہستہ خیمے گاہ کی طرف چلے. یہاں خیمے کے سامنے سکینہ نے بچوں کو جمع کیا تھا، کہا کہ اب ابھی جو ہے چچا جان ضرور پانی لے کے آ رہے ہیں. بس دور سے جب علم نظر آیا، بچی نے کہا دیکھو علم آ رہا ہے، پانی آ رہا ہے. لیکن جب حسین سامنے آئے، بچوں نے دیکھا علم آیا لیکن علم دار نہ آیا. لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین، سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. خداوند اس خلیل بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند عباس کے اس قربانی و وفاداری کے صدقے میں شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں جو عباس کے مولا کے عزادار ہیں، خداوندہ ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، ان کی عزاداری کو محفوظ فرما. جتنے دشمن اسلام خصوصاً دشمن شیعہ ہیں، ان کے تمام تدابیر اور سازشوں کو ناکام قرار دے. تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک